Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Corey Curtis from News 2. As Wayne on Twitter points out, the good to great Corey Curtis.
It's from fantastic. News 2. Fantastic. Hey, by the way, and this is totally off topic. Can I do this?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
So I keep seeing the Utah Jazz Oklahoma City Thunder video over and over again. It's directly over your head.
Yeah.
And you know, Marquise may be a better person to ask this question because I think this is my biggest question of the morning. When did Billy Donovan go from the Pat Riley hairdo to the comb over?
Oh man, I know. That is a
when did,
a great
when did
question.
This happen?
I don't know. Maybe that was some advice from Chris Paul. Man.
I mean, he looks like he's missing like a vest, and he's like a banker now. he's gone to this comb over, and it just I mean that's not Billy Donovan. What happened?
Changing things up, man. Just changing things up.
Once you get a court named after you in Florida, man,
you know what? He's done a great job in the NBA. There are a lot of college coaches who don't succeed at the next level. He's done a great job in the NBA. How long's he been there?
Oh, he's been there probably 4 or 5 years now.
Way longer than that.
He's been there for a while.
It was like a decade, right?
He wasn't on the finals team.
I don't think
he wasn't on the Thunder finals
Scott
team.
Brooks was
that
the
was
coach
Scott
then.
Brooks then. Okay. So it might have been like a few years after that finals team. So probably like 2013, 14 maybe.
Yeah. Okay, so about 7 years.
Yeah, he's been there for a while.
He's done a really good job.
Really 2015. Okay. He was there.
So I got us off topic with Billy Donovan's hair, but I was intrigued.
Absolutely. Well, we heard SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey yesterday kind of react to the coronavirus situation in real time. He joined Dari Noka on the SEC network, and here's what Greg Sankey had to say.
As I sit here, we're issuing a public statement with essentially the same information. It has been a long day, a difficult day, a day that started with discussion about those of you who do not want to attend but have bought tickets. We will refund your ticket purchase money, kind of self-selecting. Mid-afternoon, we received this news from the NCAA. It's new information. I think new information, as I understand, was shared with the Board of Governors from this COVID-19 advisory panel, which doesn't sound very connected to what we do yet. It's populated with 6 medical doctors, another expert from the sports world, 4 current and former student athletes. And I've not seen their full report. I'm hopeful that more information will be shared, but we have representation on that board. The information that filtered to us from the NCAA staff indicated the serious level of this public health crisis, and we have a responsibility to intervene. And so that decision has not been made lightly. I'm not sure I understand the full disappointment. It's disappointing for me, but it's a reality that is now upon us. And so from this point forward, after tonight, we will limit access to this tournament to our fans. And the announcement explains that we'll engage in reimbursing those who purchase tickets through official outlets. And that's a process that will take place as soon as reasonably possible.
Who will be allowed in?
Those associated with our student athletes, first and foremost, we'll have a limit. I've seen different limits. 125, 140 will be the max number. But official party members, credentialed media, those with official credentials, the ticket-buying public will not be a part of our tournament moving forward, which, again, is incredibly disappointing, but the public health reality that's upon us.
No question. How much were you in communication with those in the other conferences/power conferences who have made this decision?
We have talked several times through recent weeks, and we obviously have a number of interests working beyond this public health matter. We had the opportunity to speak. You'll have to forgive me. I don't even know what day it is today, but we spoke today a couple of times. The news was news to all of us, and then we had to recalibrate. We had all 14 athletics directors here for a meeting. Some of our presidents present and coordinated a call shortly before tip of today's first game to communicate and inform them essentially of a recommendation advanced by me given our circumstance. You can imagine difficult conversations. This conference works eventually in a united way, but some clear opinions from people.
When you were in the previous 2-3 days, you know, we see the Ivy League say we're just not going to play it at all. Did that ever enter into conversations within your office, just not playing this in any way?
Only in scenario playing. You know, looking through every contingency, which for us started in late January, trying to understand what's happening, what does it mean for our campuses, what did it mean for the regular season. This is our fourth straight week of an SEC championship, so we've been attentive all the way through. And we've been in communication with public health officials in Nashville. The Metro Department of Health has kept us updated. We've had a tornado here that has, has created circumstances we needed to be attentive to. Also on our campuses, we've paid that same level of attention. So that, that created adjustments in how we were caring for our student-athletes here, an adjustment to media interview access, just trying to have an abundance of caution. Yet, as we've learned, this is an increasing public health problem. I am not a scientist. I am not an infectious disease specialist, but those involved have advised the NCAA to take a different direction with permitting crowds, and, and we have now followed that recommendation.
Is this move to play the event without fans in the building, is that strictly this tournament, or does it extend to other sports as well?
It extends to other sports. We have had an experience with limited access after the tornado in 2008, and I've shared with colleagues in advance, and even the NCAA national office, the pain and disappointment and frustration that ensues. But again, circumstances dictate. Right. So this will affect attendance at our gymnastics championship, which is next week in Duluth, Georgia. We have an equestrian championship the following week in Athens, Georgia, an on-campus championship, and regular season events beginning tomorrow on campus. We have agreed as a conference to limit fan access to our spring events that are playing forward. That will go through March 30th, and so that's a date we'll be engaged in review between now and March 30th on an ongoing basis to see if that could be a conclusion where we go back to operations as usual, or if we have a responsibility to extend our approach.
So that was SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey yesterday. As the news continued to unfold about the SEC tournament limiting access to just media members and essential team personnel, and Corey, I thought that was going to be the biggest story yesterday when it came out that we were going to talk about here today, and then the events of last night unfold, and all of a sudden we've got, you know, the NBA season postponed, the NHL season right now in doubt. I think the NHL will come out with a statement later today on decisions that they've made. The NCAA tournament, that's at risk now. I mean, it's amazing how quickly it's happened, but it's also, I think if you're the SEC and you're Greg Sankey, you're taking stock around you right now of, okay, the NBA has postponed their season. Mm-hmm. These are professional athletes that people are asking not to play. Can we really justify putting our college athletes out there and asking them to play while the NBA is not going on?
No, and I mean, look at Vanderbilt, spring practice is off.
Yeah.
They don't want those guys together. So I think you're exactly right. And, look, if I had to bet money right now, I would bet it on we're not going to have games this afternoon. But we'll wait and see. You know, Tennessee is slated to play at noon against Alabama. And we'll see if the games, do in fact go on. These are tough decisions. They made tough decisions yesterday. But I guess as reality sets in, when you see the NBA canceling games, and like you said, the NHL likely to cancel games, you've already made the decision to keep the fans out. I think once you see those decisions and you make some of those decisions, the reality, the harshness, the severity of the situation sets in, and you get into this triage mode, and it suddenly starts to become clearer, priorities start to fall in line, and it gets a little bit easier. I'm not saying that's an easy decision today,
sure,
by any means, but I think, once you've made the ask to not have fans at the games, the next step isn't quite as hard.
No, I don't think so either. And look, this has got to be a tough decision because the NBA, I mean, they're going to lose out on money on this. Now, you can make an argument from just a gate perspective of a game, playing games with no fans in the arena, you're not losing as much money by suspending the season for the gate in terms of that way. Now, the TV deals and all that going on is a whole different thing. But, for the NCAA tournament, let's say this continues to trend in this direction and they don't play it. I mean, that's a ton of money just lost.
That tournament is a huge moneymaker for the NCAA. Huge.
Oh, man.
I mean, and That's why I say, you know, it'd be interesting if there's a way to push it back, if there's a way to change the, you know, if they decide to go to, you know, on-campus venues, because they own the venues. You know, the you know, the schools own the venues. They should have access to them. You know, you could go to all home and home NCAA tournaments. I mean, look, extreme times call for extreme measures. Yeah. You know, if we have a tournament this year, it's already not going to be normal. There's not going to be anybody there.
Yeah.
So if there's not going to be anybody there, why are we asking? Well, we're not going to ask North Carolina or Duke to fly anywhere. They never have to go anywhere.
That's true.
Why are we going to ask Florida to fly to Arizona to go play? I mean, if there aren't going to be any fans there, what difference does it make?
Right.
So, you know, maybe we just play everything real regionally, everything in driving distance.
Yeah.
Or on campus, or maybe they don't play at all. I mean, again, we don't have any answers right now. All we've got is things are on hold, and we're waiting to see if other things are on hold.
What should the NHL do in response to the NBA? Should they follow suit and suspend their season? Give us your thoughts. 615-737-1025. We'll take your calls and your text messages at 615-737-1025. The NCAA tournament is right around the corner, and it's time for you to sign up and play the official Game Bracket Challenge brought to you by Central Barbecue and Sudden Service Convenience Stores. Go to thegamenashville.com or the Game Nashville mobile app and sign up to play. Brackets will be open after the teams have been selected on Sunday, March 15th. Also, if you're lucky enough to have the perfect bracket, you could win $1 million, which you would deserve if you can get a perfect bracket. First place winner will receive a Central Barbecue $200 gift card and a pair of tickets to see Dave Chappelle and Joe Rogan at Bridgestone Arena on April 24th. We'll be right back. This is Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That was Jay Billis reacting to the NCAA's decision to play games in the NCAA tournament without fans being in attendance. Of course, we knew after that that the NBA was going to suspend their season. The NHL came out with a statement last night that says they're going to reevaluate and kind of make some decisions today at some point that they're looking forward to having a statement. So going to be really, really interesting to see. And I kind of threw the question out there in the last segment. Should the NHL follow suit and follow the NBA and suspend their season? Do they really have any other choice? 615-737-1025. I mean, this is something that is going to be crazy to follow. And Kyle writes in on Twitter and says, I think since no players have the virus so far in the NHL, that it will continue with just no fans. Well, the crazy part is I don't think you can really say for sure
that
NHL players have the virus.
The incubation period's 10 to 15 days. That's my understanding. Please someone correct me if I'm wrong. And that's the fear. That's the fear is that, you know, you've got to get a handle on it for 2 weeks. And the longer you push it back, the more likely it is that someone's going to show up with it, and then you're pushing it back 2 more weeks.
Yep.
So it just seems at some point you're going to have to shut it down for 2 weeks, and sooner rather than later would probably be a good move.
Yeah, I agree. Johnny writes in on Twitter and says they're ultimately going to have to. Too many teams have multiple tenants which cross over from the NHL to the NBA. Too much cross-contamination. I understand the NHL having to take a day to make a decision, but they're going to have to follow suit. That's a good point about the cross-contamination. A lot of NHL teams share arenas with NBA teams. Dallas does it. LA does. I mean, it's all over the place where that happens. And, you know, obviously you can sit there and you can clean things as much as you want to, but you can never be totally sure that there hasn't been some contamination there of some sort.
Well, you got guys sweating all over each other. You got guys spitting all over the place. I mean, look, when you're performing athletically in sports that are physical, where there's physical contact, you're gonna share a lot of germs.
Yeah,
it's just the way it is, and the only way to not share it is to not do it.
Yeah,
unless we're gonna wrap everybody in Saran wrap and send them out there, which might be entertaining, but I don't think the quality of play would be quite as good.
Probably not quite as good. We're scheduled to have Predators assistant coach Dan Lambert join us in the next segment. I do wonder, like, how are the Predators handling this? This has got to be interesting when, you know, all intents and purposes, you're preparing as if you've got a game tonight in Toronto, knowing full well that the NHL may come out at some point today and say, you know what, starting immediately, effective immediately. We're not playing games for the foreseeable future. I mean, it's got to be kind of a strange place to be if you're the Predators.
Well, I'm sure there are people within their organization, the Brandon Walkers and such, who are making plans right now for we're coming home without playing and what do we do the next 2 weeks? And again, there's been no timeline set forth. I'm just going by the incubation period and saying that that's how long we're likely to see these people shut things down for.
Yeah. Let's go to Trevor, who wants to weigh in on this topic. Trevor, thanks for calling in to ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Morning, guys. I was, with all the talk about canceling it or postponing and everything, look at the effect that it might have with teams like St. Louis or Colorado. You know, they got Tarasenko out and Colorado got MacKinnon out for 2 weeks. Theoretically, he could have 2 weeks of recovery time and come back like it never happened, whereas if the season continued to play on, it could actually affect the standing situation. I mean, it could have a drastic effect on teams with injured players that now have a recovery period to get back to full health to then come back and theoretically change the course of what the season would look like.
Yeah, that's a great point, Trevor. Thanks for the call. You know, obviously, when in terms of this conversation, that's probably, not probably, that is, of secondary importance when it comes to the overall health of human beings. But there's no question. I mean, this is going to have an impact. If this happens in the NHL like it has in the NBA, it's going to have an impact on the season. Like, even in the NBA, I mean, Giannis Antetokounmpo is out right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're suspending play. My guess is whenever they resume play, he's probably going to be back and probably going to be available to play.
And he's absolutely right. It can have a direct relation on the standings. Yesterday afternoon when I read MacKinnon was hurt and out a week, I said, when do the Preds play the Avs?
Yeah.
I mean, and I said he very well could miss that game, and that's a big deal. He's one of the best players on the planet. And I thought that gave the Preds a much better chance to win that game, and now that game is seriously in doubt. And so, yeah, I mean, it is. And if you're, I mean, we all know what the Western Conference standings look like.
Yeah.
I mean, what if it ends today? What if the way it ends today is the way we go into the playoffs?
Yeah.
And is that fair? Because some teams are on 68 games and some are on 70 and 71. Fair's going out the window right now because we're in uncharted waters.
Yeah.
And so we're just going to have to find our way out.
I mean, just think about if this happened earlier this season, earlier this calendar year, where Ryan Ellis was out. I mean, Ryan Ellis missed a month and a half of time. Yeah. If this happens in the middle of that and he misses, you know, 2 weeks or 3 weeks instead of a month and a half, think about how differently the Predators could be or the situation they could be in right now in the standings. I mean, they very well could be in the third spot right now in the Central Division.
And then you don't know with 2, 3, 4 weeks off, however long they're out, what do these teams have when they come back?
Yeah.
I mean, how interested?
Like, are you going to sit there and practice together? Like, what's going to happen?
I mean, you know, teams get in a mode. And now you're asking them to be off for a while, to self-quarantine, and let's go pick it up and let's go play. Playoff mentality.
Yeah, and the NBA has come out and said, like, you know, if you can still practice. Like, you can practice together.
Oh, can they?
Yeah, that's what they were reporting last night on ESPN. So I'm not sure how much sense that makes, but
I had heard something where players could still come for treatment and those things, but I didn't know they were still going to practice.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess you kind of have to if you're planning on bringing back the season, and you don't want to just go like 3 weeks without playing basketball.
I mean, you don't have cross contamination that way,
right?
You're limiting it to 12, 15 guys,
right? And to our point earlier in the show, I mean, you know where these guys are. It's not like they can just leave and go on vacation and travel all over the place. You're not technically keeping them quarantined, I don't guess, but you at least have a good idea that, hey, you need to stay in this general area unless you absolutely just have to go somewhere. And that's going to be the next challenge. If the NHL goes that direction, they're going to have to figure out a way to do that as well because, I mean, right now, I mean, you've got travel banned to Europe. A lot of people in the NHL play and live in Europe. Yep. Maybe they'd want to go back home. You can't do that right now.
No.
Leaving from the U.S., so that's going to be interesting to follow. Predators assistant coach Dan Lambert scheduled to join us for Coffee with the Coach when we come back. First, 102.5 The Game is your local donation station. We're accepting donations to help in the tornado disaster relief efforts. The Nashville Community Resource Center is in need of the following items: tarps, rolled plastic, hand sanitizer, laundry detergent, work gloves, trash bags, just to name a few. Donations will be accepted Monday through Friday from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. at our studio located at 1824 Murfreesboro Pike here in Nashville. To see the full list of items that can be donated, visit thegamenashville.com/donations. We'll be right back with Predators assistant coach Dan Lambeer here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Corey Curtis from News 2. Pleased to bring to the microphone Dan Lambeer, Predators assistant coach, Predators with a game tonight in Toronto. Dan, thanks for taking the time to come on with us this morning. We appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So Dan, obviously the story dominating the sports landscape right now is the impact of the coronavirus. The NBA suspends their season last night, kind of the future right now in doubt in the NHL as well in terms of decisions they may have to make today. How are you guys as a team and as an organization monitoring this and handling this as news continues to come out right before our very eyes almost on an hourly basis?
Yeah, basically, you know, as coaches, we're getting ready to play tonight. We're getting ready as if it's business as usual. And then if we're told otherwise, then we'll have to readjust. But, you know, that's all we can do right now. That's all we can control. And then I guess we're going to hear what we hear later on in the day. But as of right now, we're going business as usual.
Dan, how much of a topic of conversation has this entire situation been for you guys in the locker room over the course of the last week or so? Obviously changing the media policy a couple of days ago where you're not allowed to have media in the locker room, and now we've quickly evolved into this discussion. Just how much of a conversation has this been among the coaching staff and the players?
To be honest with you, I don't think it was much of a conversation until maybe the last 48 hours, you know, because before that, you know, you're just being, taking precautions to, you know, not allow media and stuff like that in the room. But now this is becoming real when, you know, the NBA shuts down. So obviously it's becoming a little more real. And I think in the world it's probably changed a lot in the last 48 hours.
Dan, how have you talked to players about self-monitoring themselves and communicating with the team at this point?
You know, for us, because, you know, yesterday we only had a meeting. We didn't practice. So we didn't spend a lot of time with the team, to be honest with you. It was more we were having a meeting, a quick workout, and then I think it was around 1 o'clock when we met with the team, things weren't as bad or as drastic as, you know, until later on in the night. So you know, when we sent it was a quick email last night telling the players, you know, as of right now we are getting ready to play tomorrow night, so prepare as you would normally.
Dan, let's just assume for the sake of conversation you are going to play tonight like you're preparing to do. What's kind of stood out to you over the course of the last three games that you've been able to get on this winning streak here, back-to-back shutouts against the Stars, another good effort the other night in Montreal? What stood out to you the most during this past three-game stretch?
Well, I think in spurts we've played very well defensively. In a couple of those games, the opposition has had a big push in the third period. But in saying that, you know, our goaltending has been great, and our special teams have been good as well, which has, you know, provided a nice spark for our club.
When you look at the toughness to which this team plays with right now, it's unrecognizable from the beginning of the season, even the midpoint of the season. Would you attribute that more to the coaching change at the top, the addition to some players on the defense corps who in Holzer and Tenorti who have brought some added toughness to this lineup, or is it just the team understanding what it has to do? I guess where does that all start?
Oh, that's a tough question. You know, it's hard to know exactly where and how it started. It's almost at some point along the way it almost felt like we lost our way a little bit. You know, and I think that whether it was bringing in Tenorti and Holzer or the coach, I can't tell you for sure, but certainly, you know, it seems like we do have a different mindset right now. And it was a mindset that was needed because, you know, we are finding ways to have more success and to play the style that we need to play.
When I see a guy like Roman Josi, you know, throw a cross check on Corey Perry, that's a clear signal to me how much things have changed within your organization. There's certain defining moments, and I thought that was a big one to me.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly, you know, it kind of made you realize that, wow, you know, we're in this to win, and you know, we know the importance of every single shift, let alone every period in every game. You know, we're in a battle for our lives right now, and I think the players are starting to understand that and are you know, competing. I guess the compete levels are showing as well.
Predators assistant coach Dan Lambert on the line with us. And, Dan, obviously from a simple goal production standpoint, it was a struggle for Philip Forsberg in the month of February. He's talked about that, has really come alive in the last three games offensively. How dangerous of a player can he be when he's feeling confident and getting on a roll like he is right now?
Well, you know what? Phil is a very, very dangerous player. I mean, he's one of the best shooters in the league, and it's amazing what confidence can do for a guy like Phil. And certainly it would be very valuable to our club if he continues to score like he did. You know what? It wasn't that long ago that I believe he started the season with 9 goals after 12 games this season, and then unfortunately got hurt, and then things changed a little bit, and he got probably lost his confidence. But we as a team certainly need him and other big guns to get hot for us down the stretch here.
With seeing him get hot as the constructor of this power play, do you look to get him more opportunities in those situations? He had a big one the other night.
Yeah, he did. And I feel like when you see him on the, we call it the flank, on the side coming downhill, I mean, when he's feeling it, I don't know that there's, a lot of shooters that are more dangerous than him. So obviously, we do want to get him the puck if in those areas and in those situations, as he's feeling comfortable and confident.
Dan, obviously a lot of success on the power play in the last 4 or 5 games. What are you noticing specifically that's clicking better on the power play during that stretch?
You know, I ironically, in a couple of those games, our power play wasn't even that sharp, but yet I feel like the guys are kind of have a different mentality where they're just shooting the puck more and they're getting more traffic to the net. And probably more importantly is what we do after we get those shots is we've been recovering pucks. And, you know, that just allows you a second and third and fourth opportunities within that power play. Then they get a little tired and that's when you can pounce on teams. And it seems like we've been doing a better job of that.
So Dan, here's the million-dollar question. What if this is it? I mean, what if like, say today is the last game you guys play until the playoffs?
I guess that decision is going to be made for us as coaches. We just have to prepare, whatever we're told, whether we play today or don't. I mean, who knows what's going to happen? If it is the last game and then we start playoffs in a month, let's say that were a scenario, we're just going to have to deal with it. And I'm sure there's going to be some precautions taken as far as, what would happen as far as practices and so on and so forth. It would be uncharted waters, I guess, for everyone. So we'll have to take it as it comes.
Well, these last few weeks have been fun to watch. I'll say this from someone who's been in this city for a long time. Seeing the struggles that this team has gone through with the talent that you've had has been frustrating for everyone, I know. But I think there's a lot of people right now who are really proud of this staff and this hockey team for reinventing itself in this last month of the season. So good luck the rest of the way.
Well, thank you very much. Really appreciate that. Obviously, we hope it continues.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much for joining us, Dan. We really appreciate it, and good luck tonight.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Dan Lambert joining us here on Coffee with the Coach. I mean, like, that's got to be such a weird feeling if you're a coach, a player, whatever, with the Preds organization and really any organization in the NHL. You're preparing. It's such a crucial time of the year. The standings are so tight. You're worried about the playoffs. You're worried about, the battle you're going to have down the stretch to make the playoffs. And then all of a sudden, news comes out last night that the NBA has suspended their season. The NHL's future right now is in doubt. That's got to be a tough way, and you could talk about just preparing for a game like it's any other game and just preparing to play. It's got to be a huge distraction for everybody involved.
Well, yeah, huge distraction. And like we say, we can speculate, that they've played, that they're not going to play. The coaches and the players don't have that benefit. They have to plan to play. They can't be surprised by playing. The surprise has to be not playing.
Yeah.
So we can pepper him with all those questions we want. They're not really fair because it's their job to be ready to play until they're not going to play. And so I think they're absolutely right in their mentality of that. They could play tonight. I mean, I think Jeremy Gover tweeted out that they could play the games where the teams have traveled to already and just say, we're going to play these games in front of empty stadiums,
right,
and then that's going to be it. And then they could just call the whole thing off, or they could keep playing in empty stadiums. I mean, we don't know. They're all options that are all on the table, and I guess we've got games until we don't.
Yeah, and that's certainly the way we're going to approach it here until told differently. I think, you know, the potential frustrating part if you're the Predators, obviously, is, number one, you want to keep playing. Number two, I think you feel like you're starting to maybe build some momentum,
yeah,
and playing a lot better as of late. And let's just say,
well, they know who they are.
Yeah, and they haven't known that for much of this year. And let's just say, for the sake of argument, the season gets shut down for 2 weeks, a week and a half,
3 weeks.
Do they still
know who they are?
Do they still know? Like,
yeah.
It's hard to continue to build on momentum that way. So that's got to be the frustrating part. And look, obviously, like we've said many times on the show today, there are things in this conversation that are 1,000 times more important than sports and the results of a hockey game. But if you're the Predators and their players, I think you feel like you're starting to figure your game out a little bit.
Yeah.
And maybe to have the season suspended for a certain amount of time, it's hard to think that wouldn't derail that to some degree.
Look, and yes, it's just sports. I understand that. But as people who are in sports, we understand that sports are a part of a city's fabric and identity.
Yeah.
And the Titans and the Nashville Predators are a part of this city's fabric and identity. I mean, when the Predators went on that Stanley Cup run and then went and won the President's Trophy and then won another Central Division, I mean, there has been a lot of pride in this city behind that hockey team. When the Titans went to the Super Bowl, there was a lot of pride. And now back to the Western, the AFC Finals this year, a lot of pride in this city with that football team. And when you take those things away, you know, it takes a layer of the fabric of your culture away. I mean, nothing brings people together more than pro sports. I think I heard Mike Golic talking about it, or maybe Trey Wingo. I think it was Trey Wingo this morning on my way in, talking about after 9/11, how sports is one of the things that brought us together. Well, here we are. We've got this thing that brings us all together, and someone is driving a giant spike through us and driving us apart and saying, we can't be together. We can't cheer together. We can't hug. We can't high five. We can elbow.
Yeah.
We can elbow. Other than that, we need to stay 6 feet away from each other. And so you've got this third party involved that's separating us and keeping us from one of the things in our society that unites us.
Right.
And I think that's one of the interesting scenarios here.
Yeah, no question about it. When we come back, should the NHL suspend the rest, or not the rest, should they suspend their season for the time being? Should they follow the NBA's lead in that? What have been your thoughts on how the coronavirus situation has been handled in the world of sports? 615-737-1025. We'll take your calls and your text messages. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Corey Curtis here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That was Predators assistant coach Dan Lambert joining us in the last segment talking about the coronavirus and the situation going on right now in the NBA, also potentially impacting the NHL maybe as soon as today. So we'll have to stay tuned to see what the reaction is by the National Hockey League. We've opened the phone, 615-737-1025, if you've got thoughts on the coronavirus in the world of sports. Let's go to Jasmine, who wants to weigh in on this topic. Jasmine, thanks for calling in to ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Something really curious. If they were to suspend the season, let's say 3 or 4 weeks, and then start the season back up where it left off, that would mean that the playoffs would be going into July. Do you think that they would maybe shorten from a 7-game series to a 5-game series, that way to give the players more than 2 months before the preseason starts?
That's a really good question, Jasmine. Thanks for the call. I mean, I think, look, there are a lot of options they're going to have to weigh through if you're the NHL and you end up going this way. The NBA, too. I mean, the NBA, I mean, I think it's a little bit easier in terms of, like, the physicality in the NBA is not quite the same as it is in playoff hockey. Like, you're not just getting blasted every game. But it is something that you have to keep in mind. Like, if you go back too far, let's say they suspend action for a month, and then you want to pick up the regular season and finish it out. Well, at that point, if you're the NBA or the NHL, your season's not ending until like mid-July,
yeah,
August.
And shoot, they start like September,
yeah,
right?
They got training camp starting in September. So
yeah,
that's not a whole lot of off-season time there at that point. So
well,
that's
and you still got to have the draft, and you've got to yeah, have free agency and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's a crazy situation.
I kind of like that idea of going to five-game series.
I do, too.
I think Jasmine's on to something there.
I think so, too.
But I think the NBA would do in – this kind of goes back to a conversation like last week that they were having on starting the season later, starting the season like in a late November, early yeah, December.
Which I'm all for, by the way.
Yeah. I'm for that. So if this is what pushes that forward of, hey, we're gonna have to have playoffs in, you know, early July, let's go ahead and just start the season in December so we don't get off track on anything. So and then I think it can, you know, be a thing to where they just start in December.
So just use it to take the make that a push.
Yeah, exactly.
To do what they already want to do anyway.
I've been a big component of pushing the NBA back into December because in October you got college football.
I think the NHL should push it back too.
Absolutely.
October football, hockey and basketball to me is ridiculous. And not that those sports are ridiculous. Nobody's ready for them.
Right.
And you got the NFL, you got baseball.
It feels like preseason the whole month.
Yeah. No, I agree. Let's go to Dan, who wants to weigh in on this topic as well. Dan, thanks for calling in to ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely.
So I think NBA, you know, has a history of overreacting in that I don't really foresee this as being necessary, that the league itself should just make an overarching ban on fan attendance. Everybody should have the freedom of choice whether or not to come to the game. You know, considering this disease can be killed by Lysol, essentially. It's only the first time in recent history that it has mutated into human affecting virus. That it's been a mass hysteria. We live in a very inflamed society, and it's just been put up in the news to be this big bad thing. Then again, it's also an election year. We also have to have a pandemic for the government to save us from.
Well, Dan, the president just banned people coming in from Europe.
Right.
I mean,
it's pretty serious. Like,
yeah, I mean, we're not allowing people into the country. All right. I mean, I understand that there's this political view, and I understand that there are people who are always going to want to have the freedom of choice. But, you know, there are certain choices that we are no longer allowed to make in this country, like wearing seatbelts, wearing helmets on motorcycles. You know, there are speed limits. And sometimes we have to have rules in place to, number one, save us from ourselves, and number two, for the greater good. And again, it's not about saving the Dans of the world. It's not about saving the Robbies or the Corys or the Marquises of the world. It's making sure that we don't get sick as well, because it's not about us getting sick. It's about who we spread it to.
Right.
And are those people the people that can be killed by COVID-19. And that's what gets lost in this, is it's not just about you. It's not just about the person you're looking at in the mirror. It's about all the people you touch. And I don't mean to come hard on Dan here, but that's, we've got to get out of this viewpoint that I only care how this affects me, because that's not what this is about. This isn't about, you know, yes, the NBA is protecting its product. It's protecting its players. But it's not about
them specifically.
Them getting sick. It's about them proliferating the disease. I mean, because I think the governor of Washington said it. They said, what if people don't follow the protocols? What are the ramifications? What's the punishment? He said, you kill your grandfather.
Yeah.
I mean, they've had 29 people die in Washington now. We had 168 people die in Italy on Tuesday. 168 people in one day from one disease in one small country in Europe.
Yeah, I mean,
And I will say this too on his point of the NBA always overreacts to things, and I know I'm a huge NBA fan, look, so this is me sticking up for him.
It's a progressive league,
yes.
And it has been, and he's clearly on the other side of the aisle, and that's fine. That's fine, but that doesn't matter. That's not what this is about.
Like, you can't say the NBA overreacts. Like, the NBA probably has one of the most well thought owners, like not owners, but commissioners, like in any sport. Like, he actually knows what he's doing outside of these other, commissioners that we complain about.
He's got a sick player. What's he gonna? And he's got a whole team of guys that have been exposed to him. What's he gonna do? Run them out to play against somebody else and expose all them? To do that would be reckless.
I mean, they had no choice yesterday.
No.
When that came out and Rudy Gobert tested positive for coronavirus, it's not like Adam Silver had this tough decision to make. The decision at that point is made. You have no choice at that point.
And who are you going to let the Jazz play for 2 weeks while you wait for the incubation period to happen with all their players?
I mean, even last night in the Pelicans game, there was an official that was in that game that they were about to tip off between the Pelicans and the Sacramento Kings. And that official had reffed a Jazz game earlier in the week. They said, you know what? That's probably not a good idea. Let's postpone this game. And the Pelicans, they were not about to come out there and play that game. And good on them. They shouldn't have.
Yeah, because it's the ripple effect. It's Rudy Gobert shakes his teammate's hand. Cool. What if that teammate's grandparents are in town? And all of a sudden,
that's exactly he gets what we're talking about.
And then that's what people don't get, though. It's mind-boggling.
Look, we're not going to stop the virus entirely. This is about allowing the medical community to treat the number of people that have it. And if we don't do anything to check the proliferation of the virus, they will get overwhelmed.
Yep.
And then we've got a real problem.
Yeah, there's no question about it. It's going to be interesting to see how the sports world continues to react to this, even today, even in the next few hours. I mean, there's going to be a lot of decisions that have to be made very, very quickly. And that's going to be something that we're going to continue to monitor all day. When we come back, our good friend Joe Rexroad from The Athletic will join us. We'll get his reaction to all of this and how it may impact the rest of the SEC tournament this week. That's coming up next. You're listening to Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Corey Curtis, live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumAlone.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.